people are going to talk about you whether you're in the room or not. We know consumer behavior has changed, where we're doing the research ahead of time, we're asking around, we're in back channel communities. Why not have a proactive approach to doing this and help augment that narrative?
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. Jonathan here, host, founder, and CEO of The Juice, your B2B content curation platform. I am thrilled to be joined by G. Scorsone, COO and co-founder of Champion, who's really changing the game for customer marketing teams, customer teams, and really just transforming the whole go-to-market motion with what they're building at Champion. So I'm excited to dig into all of that. But before I just ramble on too long, G, why don't I let you introduce yourself in your own words and tell us a little bit about your background and your role at Champion.
Oh, thanks so much. As you mentioned, my name is G, Gianna, but everyone calls me G, so we're going to stick with that. I've been in sales for my entire career, so a couple of decades now, primarily in sales leadership and running the full gamut of go-to-market, everything from SDR, BDR, all the way through customer success. And I've had the privilege of working both in tech services and tech product as well, and really seeing the nuances between PE-backed firms versus VC-backed businesses, profitable growth versus growth at all costs. So I'm a lot older than I look, so I've seen the gamut.
I love that. G, thanks so much for joining us. I'm excited to learn a little bit from kind of your sales background, moving into the customer world and digging into kind of this transformation the Champion is leading. But before we do that, this is the Content Cocktail Hour. So we always like asking all of our guests, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
That's a really great question and throws me off a little bit. For starters, coffee in the morning, there's got to be coffee. And I'd be crazy if I didn't answer that. Amazing. And then water throughout the rest of the day. But the drink that I'm like obsessed with, Trader Joe's has the most delightful, sparkling coconut water with yuzu. Comes in a skinny can and it is delicious on its own, or you could add a little cheeky something to it and it makes a great mixer as well. But life is just better with bubbles, so.
I could not have ever guessed the very next word you were going to say after Trader Joe's, coconut water, sparkling with yuzu. I had no idea where that sentence was going, but I liked where it landed. All right, well, let's begin. Starting in sales, you mentioned you saw everything in sales all the way through to customer success. Now you're COO of a business that's helping with go-to-market. Maybe the big question I'm asking is why? What led you to wanting to start a business that is transformational and thinking about customer marketing in a unique way? And what's been the biggest learning of transitioning from that go-to-market function to that COO function?
Well, I've been COO before, and I was in tech services helping to build that org from 5 million to 100 million, and we had an exit. It was wildly fun and wildly hard because that was when we were PE-backed and profitable growth, so driving 15% EBITDA. So we had to be really scrappy and really cheap. But what it enabled was really thinking about how do we make that engine run? And at each plateau, you need different systems versus culture. And what are those right changes to put in place in order to propel that growth that you're looking for? And there are big moments getting from 20 to 50 and then getting from 50 to 100. You really need to think about that transformation. And throughout all of it, I think the two pieces that stood out most to me that I wish we had gotten to sooner, and they were the big learns. One is just the cross-functional collaboration and alignment on goals. And so really thinking about how do teams work together and how do we make it a smoother experience? And that brings me to the second, which is focus on the customers. When we were going from 0 to 10, we really focused on net new logo acquisition. And actually that brought us to about like, I'd say like the 30 million mark. In order to get to that next plateau, we really needed to focus in on customers and think about how do we go wide within each logo? How do we expand each logo? How do we retain each logo? And then how do we utilize those relationships to broker new relationships as well, where we'll get to the new logos as well? And so through my experience as COO of this tech services firm, it gave me the know-how that I think a lot of SaaS go-to-market leaders just didn't have. When I got to my last gig where I was the GM of North America for a leading SaaS software, teams didn't talk to each other. I mean, there were silos. And so what you have, right, like no surprise, but what you have is a lot of fallout. And so when you follow that customer journey, what you're thinking about is, who are we going to catch? What customers are going to fall out, as opposed to, let's optimize this experience. Let's align on our goals so that we're all reaching towards the same quality and reaching towards that same end result. And what you'll do instead is now start to identify the opportunities at each hop. And this is really how you grow. And so it's that twofold of really understanding the cross-functional need for alignment, and then the intense focus on the customer journey and the customer themselves. And so that philosophy really weaved through how I believe we need to grow. And through that, in my experience at Aircall, that's where I met my co-founder, Jeff Reekers, who is global CMO. And so we really talked about how to transform the go-to-market motion in North America. And we started to weave together some solutions. And in looking for a tool to really focus in on this idea of customer-led growth, we just didn't find one that really suited our needs. And that's really the impetus for where we started to think about solving for this problem.
Yeah, so you started Champion as co-founder. I'm curious, was it a specific pain point that led you to start Champion? Or was it this shift of NRR became the like measuring stick, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even shorter timeframe than that? Was there a gap in the market, or was the pain just so literal that you wanted to run to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's twofold, right? Like, we were thriving, and then all of a sudden the economy shifted after COVID, and now no company was thriving, right? And people were getting laid off left and right. And all of a sudden, that's when NRR became real. I think it was relevant 5 years ago, and talking about it and this whole idea of everyone's being customer obsessed, that was for show. Let's face it, it was. But it became a reality when all of a sudden you really needed to look at your financials. You really needed to look at, you know, efficient growth as the means to survive. And so it's really through that we realized that the biggest pain is organizations not knowing how to get to a place where they're able to retain customers. And you mentioned NRR, but I think the other piece that people often forget is just logo retention. You know, NRR is thinking about overall, like, expand. You know, we know the formula, but so many companies can offset all of the other ones that you're hemorrhaging. And so you really need to think about both as a core strategy.
It's fascinating. It's really good. Maybe last question on this, kind of like your path to Champion. Then I want to talk a little bit more about the people that Champion serves. But you left a very successful company to start a company, brand new company, a startup, in one of the most difficult startup environments ever. What are you doing?
We all have to know our sweet spots, right? My sweet spot is really, you know, startup to scale up. And it just got to be a point where it was no longer fun. It just got big and I don't enjoy navigating. And it's also not my strength when a company gets to a certain size. That's the brutal truth. We have to know where our sweet spots are. My sweet spot is that the 5 million rather to 75 million, right? If that point in time is really exciting. Now, we're startup, so I'm 0 to 5 right now. I've never done that before. That's wildly new. So I look forward to getting to that 5 million part so that I can really tap into my ultimate strengths. But it's a fun ride and the momentum feels amazing.
I would say I get dangerous when I'm bored. And I think you're exactly right.
Totally.
Like, there's something about the chaos that just some people love and operate in. And I like that every decision has a consequence, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But you can see it literally.
You can. And it allows you to be more nimble. We often use the word iterate. And we also, you know, often use the word agile. I think what it really is a nimbleness, right? And so as you're building, there's not so much red tape where you have to wait quarter upon quarter to look at the results. And instead, it's a more micro rollout where you're looking at, again, just these moments in time where you might want to iterate, where you might want to change and have that truly agile approach. And that's what's fun. And I think that type of environment is fixing the chaos, right? How do you have organized chaos? And that 0 to 1 or 0 to 5 motion right now, I mean, what it really means is I'm just dusting off and I'm once again a sales rep. I'm once again a marketer. I'm once again a customer success rep. So kind of I've done that before.
Yeah. Love that. All right, well, let's talk about what Champion is doing. I'm going to look at it through my marketing lens, right? That's my background and what I do. And I often think like customer marketing is a secret superpower for a lot of marketing teams when it's done well. But I feel like we maybe as marketers, myself included, don't always prioritize it, or it feels like something we need to like grow into, or it almost needs to like be requested of us because we're always so new business pipeline focused. But do we really have that backwards? Like, as I've talked to Jeff and learned a little bit about Champion, it's like, man, maybe we've just like, we're doing it that way because that's the way it's always been done. But wouldn't we be better off to start with our customers and kind of reverse engineer into what new business marketing should look like based off that customer base?
Quite simply, yes. And that's kind of common sense, right? Think about a local mom and pop shop that opens. They do really well because of their regulars, and they're going to try and increase their foot traffic. They're going to try and get people in there, but it's about their regulars that are really making their business work. Your regulars are then going to talk to other people and send them to that same shop, and that's how your business is going to grow. It's a very, very simple, right, strategy that works. We also know, right, from the age of growth at all costs, that throwing dollars to build pipeline is going to work, but it's exceedingly expensive. And so as you start to hemorrhage these customers because you're not investing in CS, you're not investing in CS tools, you're not investing in customer marketing, all you're doing is this constant hamster wheel. Because you're not only trying to catch up and make up for the customers that you're losing or contracting, but you also want to grow on top of that. So you're going to have to spend more money to reacquire those customers and then spend even more money to get that growth that you're looking for. It doesn't make sense.
I love that analogy of the mom and pop store and the regulars. That's so simple, but like so true. It's every business, right? You grow through your customers and their word of mouth and their network and their ecosystem. We use a lot of really complex words in B2B sometimes to explain very simple
things. I told you, I come from services. I'm a simple gal.
I love that. Again, kind of my marketer bias here. A lot of marketing budgets have been shrinking, reducing, pausing, slowing down recently. Team sizes kind of in that same bucket. What's the best way for a under-resourced, I think even in good times, marketers believe we're all under-resourced, but what's the best way for a marketing team to make sure that they're giving customer marketing the time and attention it deserves?
Honestly, I think this is a CFO conversation. And this is where I'm starting to get really excited, because it's not just let's do customer marketing because it's going to make the customer feel valued. That absolutely should happen and needs to happen. However, if you want it to be a growth measure, this is now a CFO conversation. Let's transform how we're structuring our go-to-market engine and really thinking about this notion of customer-led growth. It's going to create efficiency. I mean, if you look at even things like community, and that's adjacent to what we're doing at Champion, but that's going to reduce the number of support hours, right? That's going to reduce probably the number of support people that you need on your team, because you're creating an environment where people get these questions answered either peer-to-peer or the one-to-many word of mouth. Customer marketing can do very similar tactics in reducing cost measures, in addition to really understanding what customers you should be focused on. And so at Champion, we have deployed AI to really help identify who are your Champion users, who are the people that you or are most likely going to take an act of advocacy, a positive word of mouth, right? And thinking about that voice of customer. People are going to talk about you whether you're in the room or not. We know consumer behavior has changed, where we're doing the research ahead of time. We're asking around. We're in back channel communities. Why not have a proactive approach to doing this and help augment that narrative? They're going to get that anyway. Now build in something proactive with a proactive reference program, as an example, shorten time to close, increase win rates, especially for those hard to close deals. Think about who your champions are. Are they moving from role to role? This will help you build pipeline. So tracking job changes. Does that put a current logo at risk? Because you're losing a lot of champions within one logo as well. And so there are a lot of motions that just by building relationships with your customers, the right ones, and really understanding the overall average of champions within each logo, et cetera, it's going to give you amazing insights to really navigate and build relationships that is going to be mutually beneficial. I believe I said this yesterday and I'm going to like say it out loud, but I had this aha moment of like customer marketing is the voice of the customer. I mean, think about the power that customer marketing can have in running cabs and really ensuring that product marketing and product understands what customers are saying and what they need.
Your brand's going to have a narrative in market, whether you like it or not. Like, wouldn't you rather play a role in that as opposed to letting what customers are saying kind of control the narrative? That's really interesting. I, going from marketing leader to founder CEO, I've shared this, I've written about this, I've talked to my former CS partners at former businesses. That's been the biggest learning for me, is that I ignorantly used to think like CS was just like, you tell a customer yes, and then you go figure it out. And was I wrong. Now I realize, I think you called it a channel earlier, and I think that's exactly like the right way to think about it. We've got all these different channels we think about as marketers, and customers are just another channel. I think like if I could go back and do some of my marketing career stops again, I think being just as close to the CS leader as I was to the sales leader is where I would start making changes for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I've said that, you know, at Champion, what we're building, our product should be the connective tissue. When you think about what product marketing needs to do and support, it needs support to support sales with things like references and a referral program, testimonials and case studies. And again, that's going to help decrease time to close, increase win rates. They can support building pipeline. And, right, the most important or equally important is the other side of it, customer success and aligning with expansion targets and renewal targets. And this is where I think it's vastly important. I talked about alignment in the first question that you asked me. Leaders need to align on this common goal.
So good. I love that. This is a bit of a curveball question, but we're recording this end of the calendar year. This is a time when a lot of businesses think about like customer campaigns, specifically like gifting campaigns, as cliche and cheesy as that may be. I'm just curious, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a gifting campaign. What's the best customer marketing campaign either you've been a part of in previous roles or you've seen maybe one of the Champion customers execute?
Okay. The most random one came to mind, and everyone who watches this is going to be like, she's out of her mind. We used to go to in-person meetings. This is quite a few orgs ago. And again, profitable growth. We did not have a lot of money, right? We did not. I had all of the salespeople. We all made cookies and baked brownies, like literally. And then we wrapped them. We got tissue paper, branded tissue paper, and we hand delivered homemade cookies and brownies. And we did a whole social campaign around it. And it was a blast. We had our customers posting, we posted about it. And it just brought so much enthusiasm and involvement from the entire org. And so honestly, like, I think that it really just touched the hearts of people because love went into it. So yeah, I think
that's incredible. Yeah. I always say breaking bread is the most successful marketing strategy. I might have to update that to baking brownies is the best marketing strategy. I think you're right. There's something kind of intimate about like individually like baking baked goods for your customers. That's like caring for somebody like a human, right? Like, and not just thinking about it like a campaign. It's just taking care of your customers.
And at the end of the day, like, that's what we're trying to get to, right? Is yes, at scale, but we're really trying to show people that we are human, that we get their pain, and we're there alongside them.
I hope that's a little bit of inspiration for some of our listeners here today. So if you liked that question, you're going to love this one. The last question we always ask all of our guests, what's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B, sales, marketing, CS? Let's hear your hottest take.
Okay. You've already said it, though. We've already hinted at this, and I think that you got what I was picking up. SaaS overcomplicates things. We're just overgrown, overbuilt, too many assumptions, too many hypotheticals. We just overcomplicate it. We just need to, like, scrap some teams. Yes, I believe in automation. Yes, I believe in driving efficiency at the same time when it makes sense. So we've got to have team members that want to roll up their sleeves, do some manual work in conjunction with some automated features and just build a process that's really smooth. And I think we've just, most SaaS orgs are just overgrown. Too many people who don't want to roll up their sleeves and it's just overcomplicated. And how you can get to that, I believe, again, is aligning all teams together to one common goal. Because I think that a lot of time and strife and stress is spent trying to get buy-in from other teams, and it's just taking up too much time, and we're standing in our own ways of further growth.
Okay, I'm going to ask a follow-up question, but I like that so much. I don't typically ask follow-ups here. What should that one common goal be? Like, do you have a strong perspective on go-to-market teams? This is the one goal, or does it vary from org to org?
I'm sure that there are some nuances to it. When I was GM, I had, as I mentioned, I had an SDR, BDR leader. I had a sales leader, partnerships leader, and a CS leader. And then marketing had a dotted line to me. And I think I was able to get this in North America's field marketing as well. I put in a bonus, and the bonus was my target, right? Which was hitting our ARR target and our NRR target. And so everyone had to think about the start to finish, and they got a really significant bonus that was meaningful, right? If we hit that end of year, and then I believe, I forget what growth we were looking for, but if we surpassed that target, they each had a $20,000 bonus. That's what will tick the needle, right? And it's that simple. What is the board looking for us to do? That's what people should be targeted on. So they understand the responsibility that they have in the overall vision. Now, I only did that for my direct reports, but as I grow champion, I will be looking to do that all the way down. Let's all act like CEOs. Let's all have skin
in the
game.
That's incredible. I love the simplicity. And it's then every person in the org gets to think about, is this thing that I am working on impacting one of those two things? You might be a few steps removed from it, but is it going to help the next step impact that thing?
It makes you think about, right? I'm passing MQLs. Are these actually good? Or are they going to waste time?
That question makes me nervous.
Right? It helps people think a little bit. Self-analyze. Let's just say self-analyze.
I love it. Well, G, if people want to learn more from you or learn more about Champion, what is the best way to do that?
Please reach out on LinkedIn or go to championhq.com to learn more about us. But certainly reach out, as I'd love to connect.
I love it. We are big fans. I'd encourage everybody to go check out those links. We'll have them in the show notes. Thank you for joining another episode of the Content Cocktail Hour. Until next time, cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.